Well, in a few more days, the world will be celebrating the 500th birthday of the Reformation. And praise God, we stand on the shoulders of men like Martin Luther, Ulrich Zwingli, John Calvin, and so many others before and after them that were brave and courageous to stand, brothers and sisters, even in the peril of their own life, losing their own life. They stood strong, pointing us to Jesus, first of all, and pointing us to his word. Amen? And today we can gather here. I'm sure that if that had not happened, the Reformation today, we would not be able to read the scriptures in our own language, be it Spanish, English, German, or French. That was a gift from God, that we are able to hold the book, the Bible, in our hands, open it, hear what God is wanting to reveal to each one of us in these last days of Earth's history. Do you believe we're living in a special time? I believe we're living in a very special time, called in Scripture the time of the end. And each one of us has a choice to make. Are we going to be part of God's kingdom? Or are we going to be part of this earth's kingdom? And we know what the book of Daniel tells us regarding the earthly kingdoms. They will all fail. They will all perish. But God's kingdom will be established, and it will be an everlasting kingdom that will have no end, where there will be no more sin, where there will be no more death, no more crying, no more suffering. Do you want to be part of God's kingdom? I want to be part of God's kingdom. And praise God for his word. Praise God for these witnesses that we find in Scripture. And I don't know who's your favorite witness in Scripture, but I have a list. I like Noah. Amen? He was an incredible witness for God. He stood in the midst of a very evil generation, and he was willing to suffer ridicule. He was willing to suffer, maybe his family were saying, "Hey, you've gone mad, Noah. What are you doing? It doesn't rain in this part of the world. And a flood, that's impossible." But Noah had received very clear instructions. And through the actions that he did, he basically preached a message of righteousness by faith. Amen? Righteousness by faith was the message that Noah was already preaching back then. And we have others like Abraham. We have others like Jacob. We have others like Ruth and Naomi. We have Deborah. We have so many of the minor prophets like Hosea, who stood in the midst of an evil generation and said, "Hey, people, there's a way out. And the only way out is if we put our trust entirely upon God." And we praise God for people like John the Baptist. Amen? And today we'll be talking a little bit about John the Baptist, a witness to the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Very clear message. And of course, we have the disciples and the apostles, and after them, so many others that have stood and have been a light in this dark world. So we want to go to Acts chapter 1 once again and look at this message found there in Acts chapter 1. And I want to start, instead of starting with verses 6, 7, and 8, I want to just go back a little bit so we have a little more context. Jesus had risen from the dead. So he was alive, and the disciples were so happy. Excuse me. In verse 4, it tells us that being assembled together with them, that's Jesus, being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. Very specific instructions. And if we can say something about witnesses, witnesses are obedient. Amen? And Jesus was telling them, do not depart from Jerusalem. Oh, what was so important about Jerusalem? They were ready to get on a ship and go to Spain if they needed to. They were ready to take the Camel Express and go into the desert. They were ready. Jesus is alive. They were excited. They wanted to tell everyone, what do you mean we need to stay in Jerusalem? We want to go and tell everybody right now. But were they ready? They weren't ready, and Jesus knew it. Even though Jesus had been walking with them and teaching them for 3.5 years, they were still not ready. So Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait. How many of us like to wait? I don't think any one of us likes to wait. In fact, the longer we wait for something good to happen, the more impatient we become. So something we can learn about witnesses is that they are also patient. Okay? Not only are they obedient, but they are also patient, brothers and sisters. Witnesses for God are patient. In fact, there's a text that we know well in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. God's people in the time of the end are perseverant. They're patient. And God tells his disciples here to wait for the promise of the Father. Does the Father have many promises for his children? He has many promises. Many. And there was one specific promise that Jesus mentions here to his disciples, which, he said, you have heard from me, says Jesus. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus had been with his disciples how many days? Does anybody remember? The Bible tells us clearly he had been with them 40 days after he resurrected. And they received the promise of the Holy Spirit on what day? The 50th day, Pentecost. Yes, and that's what Pentecost actually means, 50 days after the Passover. Okay? And we know Jesus was crucified. 40 days later, he's with his disciples, and 10 days later, they were to receive this promise. I don't know about you, but 10 days can become pretty long, yes? Especially with you, when you're with the same group of people, you know, and you're waiting for something to happen, something important to happen, the promise of the Holy Spirit. But 10 days were enough to transform those hearts. Amen? 10 days were enough to recognize, wow, God, without your help, this work of telling not only those who live in Jerusalem, but also those who live in Judea, those who live in Samaria, those who live in the entire world, this is an important task. It is not enough to just put human effort and strength and wisdom together. We need power from above. We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities. And this is where God's Holy Spirit is needed, brothers and sisters. Is our world getting any better? It's not getting any better. So I want to go briefly back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. And we're going to see this incredible witness called John the Baptist. Because I think there are some things we can learn from him. John chapter 1, and we'll come back to Acts chapter 1 too, but and in verse 6 tells us a little bit about this incredible witness for Jesus. He was called from birth to be a witness to the Messiah. And verse 6 tells us there was a man sent from whom? Sent from God. The calling to be a witness is not something that I as a pastor or anyone here can call someone to be a witness. Who is the one who calls us to be a witness? God is the one who calls us to be a witness. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came with a specific task, to be a witness, to bear witness of himself. No, to bear witness of the priests in Jerusalem. No, to bear witness of the light. That all through him might believe. That all through Jesus might trust. Jesus calls us to be like little what? Children. I don't know about you, but I think the older we get, the more we, is there a word like distrust? Yes? What is it? Mistrust. Thank you, Carolina. Mistrust. We mistrust. In fact, I think we're taught to not to trust anyone. Yes? But I don't know how many of you have been to Costco or any other store and you're waiting in line and there's this person with a little child in front of you. And the child's probably months old or maybe a year old. And if they turn and for whatever reason they engage, they're like, and they start looking and they just want to connect with those that are around them. John was called to point people to Jesus and to encourage them to trust in God, a God who knows the present, a God who certainly knows our past, but a God who knows the future and can take care of us in our moment of need. And so John was a witness for the light, that all through him might believe. He clearly declares that he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And we know that Jesus is the light of the world. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. And when we talk about Jesus, who are we talking about? John tells us here in his gospel, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him. In other words, Jesus is who, brothers and sisters? He's the creator. Today, in many parts of the world, in Adventist churches, they're celebrating creation Sabbath. It's a special Sabbath, recognizing that God is our creator. And hopefully during the announcement time, I'll be able to share a website. You know, we often think, what are Adventist researchers doing with you know, science? And I found out just a few weeks ago that there's actually a website that any one of us can go, parents can go. They have science experiments there. They have science videos regarding creation. They have things that you can do on Sabbath with your children. They have a amount of resources and scientific documents as well regarding creation. Also that we can use as a church. And we can also share with friends or neighbors that might have questions. Are people asking those questions today? Yes. Did God really create the heavens and the earth? And we can say, yes, the Bible says so. And also, nature reveals that there is a creator. Amen? Everything is so intricately detailed and made that it gives evidence that there is a creator. But it also tells us that the world did not know him. That must have been pretty disappointing, yes? And has it changed any much today? Do people know Jesus? They've heard about him maybe, but know him? Have a relationship with him? No. He came to his own and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. If there's something that John wanted to share, this is John the Baptist now, and also John who wrote the gospel, is that Jesus is not only the one who can save us, but he's the one who can change us and transform us. Amen? He is the only one who understands the human heart, and he can change us. And we might think, how does that happen? How can someone like me change when I've done this and this and this? And can God still transform me? That's the good news, amen? I have a few quotes. There's a chapter in Steps to Christ called Growing in Christ. If you have time today, just go to this incredible book called Steps of Christ, and you'll find some of these quotes that I want to share with you at this moment. In the matchless gift of his Son, God has encircled the whole world with an atmosphere of what, brothers and sisters? Of grace, as real as the air which circulates around the globe. All who choose to breathe this life-giving atmosphere will live and grow up to the stature of men and women in Christ Jesus. Grace is as real as the air that you and I breathe. Amen? It's available to all who choose it. Do you want to choose grace today? I want to choose grace. I want to choose God's mercy found in Jesus Christ. Same page, I believe. As the flower turns to the sun, that the bright beams may aid in perfecting its beauty and symmetry, so should we turn to the Sun of Righteousness, that heaven's light may shine upon us, that our character may be developed into the likeness of Christ. Where do we turn when we're in trouble? Do we turn inwardly? Many of us do. There's not much we can find there. Do we turn to the person next to us and say, hey, help me out? And they might be able to help us out one time, maybe two. But then the third time is like, where are you? And they're saying, hey, I've got my own things I'm dealing with, so. But there's somebody who is always willing to hear and listen to us. Yes? Jesus. And he is that Son of Righteousness. Every time we turn to Jesus, we should feel warmth. Amen? We should feel his love, his acceptance every time. It's there. It's not hit and miss, but it's there for us to receive if we want it. And that is who this witness, John the Baptist, was pointing to. If we go to verse 19 in John chapter 1, verse 19, it says, now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" And people will ask, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not. Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord." Are there a lot of crooked ways out there today that lead nowhere? Lots of them. But a true witness is someone who makes the paths of God known and straightens them as they point to Jesus. And that was John's task. He was to point people to Jesus. Make straight the way of the Lord. Bring people back to the study of God's word. And as he continued to share with them, he said, "Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, 'Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?'" So yes, witnesses will receive challenge and trials and tribulations. But he answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to loose." And yes, witnesses are also humble and meek. Amen? And that was John the Baptist. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. There was one who would come and would be baptizing them with the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, where we started off. And let's look at verse 5. "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Now, for those of us who know this story, why was it important for these men to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Was the task at hand an easy one? No. In fact, praise God that he can foresee the future, yes? And he knew that during that time, many Jews from around the world would be coming to what city? Jerusalem. And were they all Hebrew-speaking Jews? No, there were Greek-speaking Jews. There were Persian or speaking Jews. There were Egyptian or Arabic-speaking Jews. There were Jews from all over the world. And we can remember that most of these disciples, they were all basically fishermen, yes? From Galilee. They had their own language, one that was hard to understand if you hadn't grown up a fisherman. And they were now given the task to point people to Jesus and tell them, "He's alive. He's not dead anymore. He's coming again. And he wants to change your life." Did they need power from above? They needed power from above. And if we look at the question that these disciples asked Jesus, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?'" What were they looking at again? An earthly kingdom, yes? And Jesus told them clearly, and he said to them, "It's not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. What is it that the church is needing today more than ever, brothers and sisters? To fulfill the task that God has given us to fulfill in these last days. What is it that we need? We need the Holy Spirit. Has the world come to San Diego? Can we say amen to that? You name the country, it's in San Diego County. Yes? From all over the world. We have a generation. It's the Gen Zs. How many Gen Zs do we have here today? 1999 to 2017. The oldest Gen Z is 18 years old. How many Gen Zs do we have? That's Generation Z. They're going to call them something else later on. Just like millennials, they were called Generation Y. And for us, Gen Xers, yes? So Gen Zs, the most diverse group in the history of the United States of America. How do we reach them for Jesus? How do we tell them about the Messiah? How do we tell them the stories about Abraham and Noah? How do we reach them and tell them Jesus died for you? They might be called the digital generation. Yes? They were born probably with a phone in their hands. They text, they share everything through social media. They are open about what's going on in their life. They want to let the world know, I'm here. How do we share with them? Or maybe even better, how can they share with us? They might be the last generation. This might be our last opportunity. And I believe the only way that we can actually be a witness for Jesus is by asking the Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Amen? I want to just share this other quote from Steps to Christ, same chapter. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, take me, O Lord, as wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee. This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. Thus, day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. Is that the type of witness you want to be? One that is molded more and more after the life of Christ? That's the type of witness I want to be, brothers and sisters. And as you know, as a pastor, I have the great opportunity to visit with many of you. This past Sunday, I'll share. I visited with a member who comes to second service. Some of you might know him. Some of you might not know him. His name is Ivan Besman. How many of you know Ivan Besman? I see 2, 3, 4 hands. Originally from Moldova. Original language, Romanian. But also knows Russian. Grew up in communism. In a time and place where being a witness was prohibited. Do you think that stopped Brother Besman from witnessing for Jesus? He witnessed to colonels. He witnessed to soldiers. He witnessed in prison. He witnessed on a radio station. He was going to lift Jesus up. I don't know how many years ago he came to the United States. But coming to the United States, he could have said, okay, I've done my job. I witnessed in Moldova. I witnessed in Ukraine. I've done my job, God. So now I can rest. I can relax. I can just enjoy a little bit of life in the United States of America, where we enjoy all these freedoms and we can go places and we don't have to worry about reading our Bibles or anything like that or sharing with somebody else. Because, and two, I really don't know the language. So, you know, I'm going to have to let others who do speak the English language share with neighbors and friends. And Brother Besman invited me on Sunday. He said, Samuel, come. I have some friends who need to hear about Jesus. Brother Besman, I told him, I'll be there Sunday. At what time? 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, I was there, knocking at the door, opened up, and there they were. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Ages 8, 9, and 10. So I look at him, I go, so what are you studying? And he's like, tell them about Jesus' second coming. Wow. Okay. And I started to share with these children. They had questions. Jesus is coming back to take us? But why? When you die, you're in heaven. Good questions. These are 8, 9, and 10-year-olds. And how do we know he's going to come? And when is he going to come? And after 10 minutes, of course, 15 minutes, they're like, can we go now? We did our part. And I said, of course you could go. But I thought, wow. And these apartments where Brother Besman lives, parents with kids know him, and he's able to invite them, and they will come to listen to the word of God. He'll say, I can't talk to them. I don't speak English. But you do, so share. He said, Neighbor Emmanuel. Okay, Neighbor Emmanuel. Speak Spanish. I don't speak Spanish. Okay. Monday, tomorrow. Today, I look, and he said, he must be tired. He just got back from work, so not a good day. But tomorrow, Monday, come around 6. He knows when they come in and when they go out. He has super knowledge about each one of them. So I got back on Monday, around 6. And I parked my car. And as I was coming out, Navia, one of the little children, she looks from across the street. I'm going out with my Bible. And she looks at me and goes, is it Bible study today? I'm like, no. I'm going to Bible study for someone else, so it's not for you. I said, oh, okay. So she goes back into her home, and I get to his house, and he said, Manuel, just got back 45 minutes ago. Let's wait a little more. Okay. So after about 15 minutes, I said, okay, time to go. So we walked out there. Did Emmanuel know that I was coming? No. he didn't know. But that was not a problem. Brother Besman wanted to witness to Emmanuel. In fact, when I met Emmanuel and we sat down and we started to talk, and he was very friendly and he opened up, he shared where he was from, he shared about his family, his children. He had come to Fallbrook 45 years ago. And he was living in the same home he got married. His son is a physician. And he's sharing with me a little bit about who he is, what he's done. And he said this: Ivan is an incredible man. I know he wants to tell me something. I don't know what he wants to tell me. But I know he's a man of God. And I got to just share with him for a good hour. After the meeting, I only shared this in first service, not in second service. Ivan looked at me and says, I said, "So what do you think, Ivan?" He says, "Good, but 1 hour too long." I won't share it during second service. 1 hour too long. First meeting, 30 minutes. Good. I'm like, okay. 30 minutes only, so. And this man was just sharing, says, I see him when he's out there. He has, this is really cool because he has his apartments are there, the complex of many apartments. And you know how you have the sprinklers out there and sprinkling basically nothing. There's just lots of stuff and there's not a lot. Again, he's made that into a garden. Tomato garden, cucumbers, you name it is there. He's using the water that's being thrown out and he's just putting all these little plants there. And people see him go out every day, make sure his plants are doing well. And when he's out there, it's an opportunity also to do what? To witness, to talk to his neighbors and share with them. I was talking with Ivan right before going to Emmanuel's, and this young man, 20 years old, stops and says, "Hi, Mr. Besman." And he goes, "My pastor." So he looks at me going like, "Your turn now." Okay, so here we go. Start talking with this young 20-year-old and asking him what he does and does he read his Bible. And he said, "Yeah, my family's Catholic and we used to go to church on Sundays, but since everybody now has a job or school or something, we don't go to church anymore." I said, "Oh, it's too bad." He says, "You're welcome to come to Fallbrook." He says, "I know." He says, "Ivan has invited me week after week to come to his church, but I'm busy." And yes, we'll get a lot of people with good excuses. Yes, I'm busy, I'm working, I'm studying. I don't know the language, you name it. But for Brother Besman, there is no excuse why not to share Jesus with others. That evening, I was leaving, and it was already around 8 p.m., getting in my car. He walks me to my car. And as I was turning the engine on, I looked to my right, and there was another car. And there was somebody inside the car with their phone. Yes, and you can tell because the light is hitting you on the face. And this person is just very comfortably there in the quietness of a car that's parked and just going at it. And as he was saying goodbye, I could tell he was looking over. And as soon as I just moved my car out of the way, he was at this person's car, knocking on the window. She rolled it down, and he began to do what, brothers and sisters? To witness. Brother Ivan believes that time is short, that there are many people in his own neighborhood that don't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they can't choose Jesus. And if they can't choose Jesus, they will perish. Because the Bible is very clear that to be saved, we need to believe in Jesus. We need to know him. And he feels that the message that we have to share is urgent. And he's going to share it with children. He's going to share it with adults, with young people. He's going to share it with those who speak English, with those who speak Spanish. He's going to share it with anyone who is willing to listen to his witness. Do you think he's filled with the Holy Spirit? I think he's filled with the Holy Spirit. And this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock again, I get to sit with 7 children who have big questions. And I'm this stranger they've never seen before. They know Ivan and Maria, but they don't know Samuel. So I've asked some of our youth, children, if they want to join. Because I think they'll have a better rapport with them. They'll be able to witness as well. What is it that they know about Jesus and his soon return? And I believe, brothers and sisters, we all have a task. Amen? A beautiful task. And God has not left us alone, but he's promised us his Holy Spirit. Are we asking for the Holy Spirit? If we are not, it's time we ask. Time, we don't know how much time. It's not for us to know the times or the seasons. But our task is to be a witness, a true witness. And by God's grace, share this incredible message of a God who loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen.